if we stick to our guns and continue to punish the aggressors, we can end the aggression in Korea and restore peace. We have been urged to take measures which would spread the fighting in the Far East. We've been told that this would bring the Korean conflict to a speedy conclusion, that it would save the lives of our troops. In my judgment, that just isn't true. I believe we have a better chance of stopping aggression in Korea at a smaller cost in the lives of our troops and in those of our allies by following our present course. Let me tell you that I have studied this question for a long time. It is not a question that can be decided in the light of Korea alone. It does not affect just the Far East alone. It is not a local question. It affects Korea and Japan and the security of our troops in those places. But it also reaches Europe and the future of the North Atlantic Treaty, the security of the free people there and everywhere else in the world. It is a decision that affects the future of the United Nations and the future of the whole world. I have refused to extend the area of the conflict in the Far East under the circumstances which now prevail, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. I've refused first on military grounds. The best military advice I've been able to obtain, the best collective military advice in this country, is that this course of action would not lead to a quick and easy solution of the Korean conflict. On the contrary, it could very well lead to a much bigger and a much longer war. Such a war would not reduce our casualties in the Far East. It would increase them enormously. Such a war would expose our troops to devastating air and submarine attacks. It would seriously endanger Japan and the Philippines. And it would unite the Chinese people behind their communist rulers. Furthermore, a deep involvement on our part in a war in China, whatever the outcome there, would have critical military consequences in Europe. There is nothing that would give the Kremlin greater satisfaction than to see our resources committed to an all-out struggle in Asia, leaving Europe exposed to Soviet armies. These are the military dangers. But there are other dangers. The Kremlin is trying and has been trying for a long time to drive a wedge between us and the other free nations. It wants to see us isolated. It wants to see us distrusted. It wants to see us feared and hated by our allies. Our allies agree with us in the course we are following. They do not believe that we should take the initiative to widen the conflict in the Far East. If the United States were to widen the conflict, we might well have to go it alone. If we go it alone in Asia, we may destroy the unity of the free nations against aggression. Our European allies are nearer to Russia than we are. They are in far greater danger. If we act without regard to the danger that faces them, they may act without regard to the danger that we face. Going it alone brought the world to the disaster of World War II. We cannot go it alone in Asia and go it in company in Europe. The whole idea of going it alone is the opposite of everything we have stood for since World War II. Going it alone in Asia might wreck the United Nations, the North Atlantic Treaty, the whole system of collective security we are helping to set up. That would be a tremendous victory for the Soviet Union. We do not intend to fall into that trap. I do not propose to strip this country of its allies in the face of Soviet danger. The path of collective security is our only sure defense against the dangers that threaten us. It is the path to peace in Korea. It is the path to peace in the whole world. We are determined to do our utmost to limit the war in Korea. We will not take any action which might place upon us the responsibility of initiating a general war, a third world war. But if the aggressor takes further action, which threatens the security of the United Nations forces in Korea, we will meet and counter that action. I repeat, I am convinced that the course we are now following in Korea is accomplishing most for peace, and at the least cost in American lives. All of us wish that no Americans had to fight or die. But by fighting on a limited scale now, we may be able to prevent a third world war later on. Remember this. If we do have another world war, it will be an atomic war. We could expect many atomic bombs to be dropped on American cities. And a single one of them could cause many more times the casualties than we have suffered in all the fighting in Korea. I do not want to be responsible for bringing that about. Some people do not understand how the free world can ever win this long struggle without fighting a third world war. These people overlook the inner weaknesses of the Soviet dictatorship. They forget that the free world is stronger. Stronger in its determination. Stronger in its staying power. Stronger in its human resources than any system of slavery under a totalitarian dictatorship. The Kremlin system of terror, which appears to be its main strength, is one of its greatest weaknesses. Dictatorships are based on fear. They cannot give their people happiness and peace. They have nothing to offer except aggression and slavery. As the aggressive tactics of the Kremlin are checked by the collective defenses of a free world, the futility of the whole communist program is becoming more and more apparent to the people under Soviet control. We can already see this process at work. In China, the failure of the Korean adventure is weakening the hold of the communist government. Wholesale arrests and executions are taking place. In the same way, the pressure of the police state is increasing in the other satellite countries. Yugoslavia has thrown off the Kremlin yoke. Every day, refugees flee across the border from the Iron Curtain countries into the free countries of Europe. There are growing unrest behind the Iron Curtain. We must remember that the peoples under the Soviet rule of terror are not only our friends but our allies. They are victims of a terrible tyranny. We do not hate them. We have had friendly relations with them in the past. And we can have such friendship again. As the free nations build their strength and unity, this fact will compel a change in the Soviet drive for power and conquest. The Soviet rulers are faced with the growing strength of the free world, the increasing cost of aggression, and the increasing difficulty of driving their people to greater and greater hardships. They will be forced by these pressures from within and without to give up aggression. It will then be possible to make progress with a program for international control and the reduction of armaments and for the peaceful settlements of disputes. Our programs of economic aid and technical assistance in our campaign of truth not only strengthen the free peoples, they weaken the dictatorships. They remind the victims of tyranny that a better world lies outside their prison. They build up the hope of freedom everywhere. Everything we can do to strengthen the free world, every dollar we spend for assistance to other nations, every effort we make to resist aggression in Korea and around the world, brings closer the day of genuine peace. We're not engaged in a struggle without end. We're engaged in a struggle which has the definite goal of peace. Peace under law is the victory we seek. To achieve this goal, we must work together, steadfastly and patiently. We must not be led astray The real issue is whether we stand alone or whether we stand and work with the other free peoples of the world. I'm confident that the American people will not yield either to impatience or defeatism. I'm sure that our courage and wisdom are equal to the great task we are now undertaking. And I believe that with all our resources, our human energy, and our common sense, we shall be successful in the great objective of defending freedom and bringing peace to the world.
You have been listening to an address by the President of the United States, Harry S. Truman, on the subject civilian defense and our foreign policy. Mr. Truman was guest of honor this evening at the Civilian Defense Conference of National Organizations, now in session in the presidential room of the Hotel Statler in Washington, D.C. It was presented by Millard Caldwell, Civilian Defense Administrator. This program has come to you from CBS Public Affairs.